Well, the entire world needs Christmas. We know that one. Another one who needs Christmas, who might have surprised us when we heard this last Sunday, God needs Christmas because he had to demonstrate to us how much he loved us. But there are others of us who need Christmas as well. Who needs Christmas? The oppressed need Christmas. And what I mean by that are those of us who need freedom from ongoing sin need Christmas. Christmas is about the shackles of addiction that have a python's grip over some of you. Those dependents that the dependencies that have control over us. Christmas is about the chain of those bad habits that you can't break, those sins that we're sorry for and ask forgiveness for, but they just keep dogging us. People like us need Christmas. I mean, you think, oh, no, we're not talking about that on Christmas morning. Not Christmas Sunday. We're not talking about that. But for us to understand who Christmas is for, who all that Christmas is for, we've got to talk about us. Us who we say, God, we're so sorry. God, forgive us. And we're so sorry. And then we just go right back to it. How many of us have experienced that? Oh, come on. Then I'm wasting my time today. But no, I know I'm not. I know I'm not, because there's something to catch here today for those, for all who need Christmas. So to start off this morning, okay, in this message, let's talk about the name Jesus, okay, just for a second, because this really sets the foundation for where we're going in this sermon. The name Jesus. The angel said to Joseph, you are to give this baby the name Jesus. The name Jesus, as it's given to us in modern translations, is a Latin translation of a Greek word having to do with the Hebrew name Yeshua. Okay, the Hebrew Yeshua. Joseph, you will name this baby Yeshua, translated into the common language of the day, Greek, Iesu, then translated into Latin, Jesus. Now, I know that's a mental handful, okay? I get that here today. But to understand the significance of Christmas and all who need Christmas, it's important to understand that the name Jesus was originally the name Joshua. The name Yeshua is actually the Old Testament name Joshua. You see, the Greeks nor the Hebrews, they don't have the letter J. They don't have the J sound, okay? So while we say Joshua, they say Yeshua or Yeshua. And that's the name from which we get Jesus. So track with that here today, because it's so important to believing that God had us in mind from the very beginning. Those of us who might struggle with sin and ongoing sin and saying we're sorry and then we go right back to it and being oppressed by that, he had us in mind. This is very, very important. Yeshua equals Joshua equals Jesus. From what we know, based on Old Testament accounts, Joshua, see, that's key. Joshua in the Old Testament was a warrior, a military man. He led the ancient Jews after Moses. Now, Moses was a law-giving leader, which was necessary during his leadership. Joshua, on the other hand, was a warrior leader, which is what the people needed during his leadership. Joshua delivered his people from oppressors, from their enemies. He was a military freedom bringer for people, for his people. He delivered his people from oppressors, from their enemies. And this is important for where we're going in this sermon. So let this naming celebration 2,000 years ago, let this naming celebration be the filter that today's scriptures and my words flow through. Okay, let's go back to the Christmas story now. Back to the Christmas story. As we've mentioned briefly over the past few weeks, Mary, Jesus's mother, she was engaged to a man named Joseph. But before the wedding day, she became pregnant through God's Spirit. Strange, I know. And probably not something that Mary could easily explain, right? There was nothing humorous about this subject back then. In her day, she could have been stoned to death for being pregnant outside of marriage. And Joseph certainly didn't want Mary to be killed or go through public humiliation, so he planned on just breaking off the engagement, just break it off gently. And honestly, that was an honorable way because he also had some major doubts about her story. After all, the whole "an angel got me pregnant," that kind of story, that's not one that fiancés are prone to believe, okay? We know that. So that's when, according to Matthew's account in the Bible, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said these words, "Joseph, son of David." Now, Joseph wasn't literally a son of King David, the most famous king in Israel's history. But he was related down his lineage, which was discovered, which we discovered in our first sermon, was very important. He was all part of the lineage of Abraham. And the angel reminded Joseph of his lineage and then continued, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do not be afraid." In a small village in ancient times, everybody knew everybody's business, okay? They didn't need social media. They didn't need a gossip columnist. They didn't need a text thread to learn about the latest gossip, the latest scandal, all right? This was a major scandal. So it makes sense that the angel told Joseph not to be afraid, because what is conceived in her is from God's Spirit. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a second. Think of the questions that you'd be asking right now. The first one would just be, "Huh?" I mean, that would just be the first one. I mean, why can't I just get married and have a son the regular way? You know, why can't that just be this normal way that it's supposed to happen? Am I really getting a visit from an angel who's telling me? And the angel continues, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because." She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because. Now, Joseph wouldn't have even needed the angel to complete that sentence, okay? As a part of a people group who had been oppressed by Syria and Babylon and Persia and Greece and now Rome, the need for a Yeshua, the need for a Yeshua, a Joshua, a freedom warrior, was blatantly obvious. And the angel continues, "Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people." Yes, to Joseph, this makes sense. The ancient leader, Joshua, drove out oppressors and established his people in freedom. So undoubtedly, this my son that I'm going to call Jesus, if he is the Messiah, he's going to do the same thing. And the angel's not done with his monologue. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their... Oh, and see, we're tracking along. It just seems so simple, just a simple sentence. But it is so profound coming from the ear of Joseph. He's going to save his people from there. And again, if you're Joseph, it's an easy sentence to finish. Because he will save his people from their oppressors, invaders, enemies. Any synonym will work. He knows exactly what Yeshua means. He knows exactly what Joshua did. He knows why his son is going to be called Jesus. Joseph's son, Yeshua, Joshua. And as we know his name, Jesus, he's going to establish Jewish dominance and restore Israel to its glory days of Kings David and Solomon. But then the angel threw Joseph a curveball. This is where everything shifts in this sentence. Give him the name Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, the freedom warrior, the one who released his people from oppressors, because he will save his people from their sins. From their sins. People wanted to be saved from their oppressors. Sins wasn't priority one for their Messiah. But Joseph, the scripture tells, Joseph kept all that to himself because it's a good rule not to argue with an angel, right? So he just keeps it to himself. And he obeys the angel, and Mary became his wife. And you know the rest of the story. The Christmas story. You know, Christmas is a great time to talk about forgiveness of sins. You had to have Christmas to have Good Friday. And Easter. God had to show us his love. So he had to provide forgiveness for our sins. So he demonstrated his love in this. While we were still sinners, he sent Jesus. Christmas. He sent Jesus. Christmas. To die for us. And we celebrated that last week, you know. But it's more than that. Get on the edge of your seat here this morning. It's more than that. God forgives us of all our messiness. Yes, we know that. We preach that. We hear that. We believe that. We trust in Jesus alone for our forgiveness. But like this clear message to Joseph, the message of Christmas is about more than just forgiveness of our sins. Jesus came to deliver us from the oppression of sin and its stranglehold on us. Jesus came in the spirit of Joshua, the warrior, the freedom warrior, who led the Israelites into a land of freedom, to free you and me from the power and slavery of sin. Not just to forgive us, but to free us. Not just to forgive us, but to free us. When Jesus started preaching, he alluded to this at times. You'll remember this story. Many of you, or most of you, have heard this story. There's a story from the Gospels, the first four books of the Bible that really focus on Jesus. There's a story from those first four books where religious leaders, they catch a woman in adultery. You know the story. They catch this woman in adultery, these religious leaders, and they drag her to Jesus, okay? They say to Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery, and the law says to stone her. What do you say? It was a trick question, okay? I'll just let you know that. You know it's a trick question. Remember from last week's sermon, this was the time of peace in Rome. It was the Pax Romana. They couldn't just go out and do vigilante justice. And Jesus calls their bluff. Remember? Fine. Yeah, take her down to the pit and stone her. And you're thinking, no, that's what Jesus wouldn't say. Well, he did, but then he continues, okay? Okay, fine. Take her down to the pit and stone her. Just one thing. Just this one thing. Those of you who have not sinned, you start the execution. Oh, go stone her. But those of you who have not sinned, you start the execution. And one by one, they walked away. And then Jesus says, hey, where are your accusers? And she answers, they left. And then he says to her, then neither do I condemn you. In other words, you're forgiven. Story is awesome. And then he adds, just as awesome, go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and leave your life of sin. Now that sounds nice, doesn't it? It sounds nice, but is it even possible to leave our lives of sin and say no to it? To be set free from those things that have control over us. Right now, there are some of us in this room who are doing some mental, emotional gymnastics because it was as recent as this morning, or is it just as recent as last night, or just as recent as this past week. And if I was to say we were in total confidentiality, how many of us, we probably all would raise our hands. All would raise our hands because we're all sinners. All of us ask forgiveness. All of us go back. And for many of us, that leave your life of sin, that's been a very difficult thing. And we receive forgiveness, but we go right back to it. We cry out for saving, and God saves us immediately, but those chains remain around us. We say we're sorry to God, and we really are, but we fall right back into it. Is it even possible to leave those chains behind us? At another point in the story of Jesus, he says this, another point in the story of Jesus, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said that. And that's bigger than forgiveness. Because forgiveness just puts me back at zero, clean slate. But how can I actually have life free from those chains? Jesus says, I have come. That's why I came. That they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is saying here that he also came for another profound purpose. Yes, Jesus said, I have come to seek and save that which is lost, forgiveness. But here he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To do more than only forgive us of sin, but to free us from sin. And that's actually what his name, Jesus, means. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, the warrior king, setting those who are oppressed by sin, setting us free. Wow. Later, the Apostle Paul, in a letter to Christians living in Rome, he put this same language around the purpose of Jesus' coming. From Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. This makes it sound like that Jesus came to give us the power to choose freedom from sin. He came to deliver us. But we have to decide what we allow to master us. He goes on saying this in verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master. Because remember, he's Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, the freedom warrior, the one who fights our battles for us, the one who can bring to us that freedom that we need. For sin shall no longer be your master. Paul's saying it's no longer your master if you're in Christ. And then Paul summarizes it with this powerful statement, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Because sin is the enemy that kills. Since sin is the enemy that kills, God sent Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, the freedom warrior, to fight and defeat the oppression of that sin, to set you and me free, to have life and to have it to the fullest. And he continues in verse number 23, but the gift of God is life forevermore in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life, life, real life, full life, not the chained life, not the addicted life, not the dependent life, the free life, real life, forever in Christ Jesus. The gift that you receive when you place your faith in Christ is a gift that you receive right here in this life. And it starts now and it's forevermore. That gift of freedom isn't available to us the moment we die. It's available to us the moment we die to ourselves and turn our lives over to Jesus. Put our lives into his hands so we can find real life. Wow. Christmas was a gift, all right, but not only for the forgiveness of sins, but freedom from the power of it. Through Christ, you can have a new master. Simply put, Christmas is for people who need freedom. If the cycle of failing and asking for forgiveness, then failing again and asking for forgiveness, then failing again and asking forgiveness and again, if that's been your experience, know this. You can say no to sin anytime you want. Man, seek this freedom warrior. Rely on this deliverer and be set free from the oppression of your sin. Sin is not your master. Lust is not your master. A lack of self-control is not your master. That thing you're dependent on isn't your master. Materialism isn't your master. Anger is not your master. Bad habits are not your master. A bad attitude is not your master. When you become a Christ follower, you place yourself in Christ. That means you are free. You are free, free indeed. You may say yes and live as if your sin is your master, but it's not. And even here today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, sin, it doesn't have to be your master either. And if you ever get tired of being dragged down by sin, or whatever you call it, whatever those chains are in your life, whatever you call that, being dragged down, if you're getting fed up with something that seems to have control over you, I have some great news for you. Christmas is for people like you who need freedom. It's an arms open wide invitation from your Father in heaven, who's inviting you into a relationship with Him where these struggles no longer have to be your master. Maybe today would be a great day for you to be set free. The entire world needs Christmas. And God needs it to demonstrate His love for us. But it's also for anyone who needs freedom from the oppression of sin. In the announcement of His birth, this baby was given the name Jesus because He is our freedom warrior who saves us from the control of sin in our lives.